science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello, and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week, I'm going to start now working through my book, U2.0, Build Yourself Better. And I've already done a couple of episodes here and there based on some of the chapters and ideas that are in the book. But I'm going to work through systematically now the ones that I haven't done. And we're going to go all the way back to chapter one of the book, which is called Suspend Your Disbelief. And the whole idea about U2.0 as a concept, as a book for you to, if you're wondering what it's all about, it's really a guidebook, a cookbook even, of ideas and strategies and distinctions and lessons that I've learned over the decades of work, whether and just working with communities, working in education, working in government, working in big business, small business, and running my own business. And I wrote it really for me, because it's when I don't follow the ideas in the book that I make a mess of things. So it's there for you to use as well. Now, not everything in it is going to appeal or even work necessarily for you, because all our circumstances are different and all our core beliefs and ways of thinking and our habits are different as well. And the kind of communities of interest that we operate in are different. But I will guarantee you that there will be many ideas and distinctions and strategies in that book that will work for you, and you can then work through it. If you get the book, you can work through them and pick the ones that work for you. And my recommendation really is to pick one to start with, master it, and then add another one in. So I'm going all the way back to the first chapter for this, as I say, Suspend Your Disbelief, because it really lays down the foundation of how to approach everything else that's in the book and in your own life as well. So the subtitle to the chapter is Time to Start Believing in Yourself. And it goes like this. Full of self-doubt? Of course. Here's why it's important to start every change from a sense of total belief. And if you can't find that total belief just yet, how you can fake it. And that's important, because sometimes We know the best way to get through a situation is to feel confident, but we might not actually be feeling confident at that moment. So what can you do? What tips can you do to get yourself into a confident state, or to at least trick your brain into thinking that you are feeling relatively confident about what you're about to do? So I'm going to work through the chapter. I'm not going to go through it word for word, because then you wouldn't need to buy the book. But also, I still firmly believe that it's vitally important that you do have a paper or a digital copy of something to read. Paper's better, to be fair, I find, in terms of getting ideas embedded in a head. Last week when I did the hitting the target, missing the point piece, I mentioned about journaling again as well, and there's a whole episode of ThinkWorks dedicated to the art of journaling and why it's important and how it's really beneficial. And again, I would really strongly recommend that you have a journal that you use to capture the ideas and work through the exercises. And that's exactly what I do. I've got a journal. I write everything in there. Ideas, concepts, things I'm thinking about, things that I've just done, successes I've had, failures that I've had, and why did it fail, what went wrong, try and learn the lessons, and then try and implement changes going forward to try and do it again. So journals are really important. But let's get back to this chapter, Suspend Your Disbelief. It goes along something like this. Have you ever been in a place where you were simply awesome? where everything just clicked and you felt you could do absolutely anything? I bet you have. You might not remember straight away, but keep digging, because somewhere at some time you rocked. And it's always good to remember these moments for when you are feeling a little bit shaky, where you have had a knock or you have faced a hardship or obstacle or challenge that's really kind of knocked the breath out of you or the wind out of your sails. And then if you can remember what you were doing when you had that feeling of utter, complete confidence, it will help you try to recreate that confidence so you can then re-tackle whatever it is that knocked you to one side. I think that's the thing. Because humans are deletion creatures, because our brains can only cope with so much input, we can't sometimes get out of that negative sense of feeling because of the external environment around us. But this is what this chapter is really all about. It's about how you can take on some of the ideas about pain and pleasure. If you've ever listened to any Tony Robbins, he starts with a foundational exercise that's all about the six human needs, and the two at the top are pain and pleasure. And he has a really, it's kind of like a challenging belief set, but when you think about it, it's right. Humans will do more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure. And so it's like when you didn't ask that cute boy or girl out on a date because you feared more the pain of rejection than actually anticipating and hoping for the best and actually getting all the pleasure of that date then going forward. It's really strange how we can do that and trick ourselves into avoiding the pain rather than actually wanting to embrace the pleasure. It's the same with job, applying for jobs and everything as well. You have to feel the force, Luke. It's that kind of, almost like a sense of those belief systems aren't really helping us, and running away from pain all the time isn't necessarily going to get us anywhere good that we need to go. So, as again from Star Wars, sorry Luke and Yoda, but you must unlearn those habits and those thought processes that seem to want to always make you avoid pain. And sometimes making choices about changing your job, moving on, even ending a relationship that you're in because you fear the pain of actually not having someone more or not having a job more than actually staying miserable where you are. It's just such a flaw in the human psyche that we will do that. It's like, if you have to reprogram your brain, you have to work on it so that you start to believe positive thoughts about yourself. If you keep telling yourself you're a jackass, if you keep telling yourself you're rubbish at something, your brain actually does not ever want to make you out to be a liar. So it will actually start to act as though you are a jackass, as though you are rubbish at a particular aspect of something. It's like, when I go to the movies, I want to go to escape, really. I mean, don't get me wrong, art movies have their place, and films like Schindler's List may well have an emotional kick in the pants. But if I'm taking the trouble to go out, I want to be entertained. And for that, for me, that means usually Bruce Willis taking on a skyscraper full of terrorists in his bare feet, or Jeff Goldblum uploading a computer virus onto the alien mothership. That means you have to be entertained and willing to suspend your disbelief. If you go into a blockbuster movie like Die Hard or Independence Day, if you're not willing to suspend your sense of disbelief, you're not going to enjoy the movie because you're going to be constantly picking plot holes in it as you're going along, rather than just sitting back, eating the popcorn and just being entertained. So we can do it willingly, and we can do it also unconsciously, when we go to the movies, we can suspend our sense of disbelief. So why can't we do it consciously? Why can't we make an effort to actually say, no, I'm going to suspend my disbelief and I'm going to believe that I can make this happen, that I can get this project off the ground, that I can write this book, that I can deliver this speech, that I can go and ask that cute guy or girl out for a date. You've just got to suspend your sense of disbelief. And if you're wondering about Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day and why the aliens had a Mac-compatible computer, I actually worked this out. Basically, what happened was the aliens made themselves vulnerable by adapting their computer system so they could use our satellite systems to communicate with their other ships around the world to make sure that they had a coordinated attack plan. So by doing that, they actually did lead themselves open to a piece of code going into their system and attacking them from within. It's just, you know, hey, I think I did well to actually come up with that. But never mind. Going back to what I was saying then, we need to take that cinema trained skill and learn how to use it in a real world scenario. And if you haven't had training in how to stand in front of 300 people and excite them about your latest idea, but if it was a movie and you were Bruce Willis and you just wing it anyway to save the day, which is what Bruce Willis always does in all his movies, if you are in a movie and you are that actor playing that role and willing to wing it, then why don't you just do it in that speech? I'm not saying don't bother to prepare for that speech. What I'm saying is, if you stand up and you believe you're Bruce Willis about to take out Hans Gruber, you're more likely to deliver a speech that's more effective and come across with more confidence and more surety and really kind of take your audience with you on a journey. And you'll have fun with it. Have fun with it. You know, make the audience come with you on that journey. And it's in all aspects of business and even community engagement and even in your personal and family life. If you can go into a particular problem or challenge that's been worrying you, but you go into it with that kind of attitude where I am purposely going to suspend my sense of disbelief and I'm going to pretend that I'm Bruce Willis and I'm about to take on the role of McLean and do the John McLean and do the actual save the world kind of approach to this talk, to this lecture, to this meeting, to this presentation, to this conversation with my family, and so on. Now, don't get me wrong. If it's simply a matter of believing in yourself, then why don't more people do it? And I know that's the question that you're going to ask me. But it's because our beliefs are constantly being shaped and influenced by those around us that it's why we have to be careful not to allow our mind to cultivate those small seeds of doubt that can later become great big forests. You have to proactively monitor what is going into your mind, what input is going in. So stop. Please stop watching the news all day long. Stop going to your conspiracy groups on Facebook all day long. Do something and find material that is more positive, that is more balanced, that is inspiring, that helps you relax, and have your mind feed on that and plant seeds from that kind of input so that your brain is more resilient, true, and it's also more willing to look for the positive in any kind of challenge that comes along. So I want you to do something. I want you to define what if you're struggling, I want you to define what kind of person you really want to be, and I want you to write it down. This is why a journal is always, always preference. I always prefer journals over any kind of digital input because the act of writing it actually reinforces it greatly in your psyche anyway. So write down how you would act if you were that person already. Focus on that. How would you walk? How would you speak? How would you stand or sit? In fact, is it Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins have got this? If you get into that mode, go into superhero pose, like Superman. Stand like Superman, stand like Wonder Woman, that kind of powerful, authoritative superhero pose that says, I'm strong. And your brain doesn't want to make you out to be a liar. And you'll crack up. You will laugh at yourself for doing it. But that is a far better place to be than simply accepting all those self-doubts and those seeds that grow into these trees of and webs of kind of real fear and anxiety. So do that. It's really important that you do. Then what you need to do is take that positive new self-belief, and in, while you're in that state, make changes that you know you need to make. It's important that you always tackle any big problem, any big challenge, or make any big decision, not from a state of fear, but from a state of positive thinking. It's not hug a tree, positive thinking. It's not that kind of thinking, positive thinking rubbish that's just is basically you affirmations, and you make the affirmation and your brain goes, ah, who are you trying to kid? It's not that. It's more about putting yourself in a state of mind that's more open to positive thinking rather than shutting down and listening purely to the negative voices in your head. And if that means finding a piece of music, for example, I use He's a Pirate, the theme from Johnny Depp's movie Pirates of the Caribbean, because that it's only 1 minute 23 seconds long, but it's a fanfare that really captures the sense of fun and adventure of Captain Jack. And it's brilliant because that puts you, I'm a pirate, and isn't that a much better way to actually, you know, I'm kind of this rascal, this rebel, this revolutionary, this person that doesn't conform to the kind of business straitjacket that people would like to put on you, or the way to you're supposed to present and whatever. You always be yourself, true, but use something that gives you that energy, that gives you that inspiration, that lifts you out of the negative thinking into a more positive or fun-seeking kind of mentality, and you're much better, you'll be much better and much happier to do that. Now, in the each chapter of the book, I always have a take a bite section, and on the if you go to darreninform.com, you'll see that there's a room for you 2.0, and in that room I've created a chat room where you can, I'm actually doing the exercises with you week by week. So every week I'm going to do the chapter. It's called Take a Bite Tuesday. So every Tuesday I will take a bite from each chapter in sequence, and I will do that take a bite with you in the forum on that post. So I've already done the first one, this one, Take a Bite. And what is it? Well, the take a bite for this is really this. Right now, grab a piece of paper and write down a description of at least 5 times you felt totally self-confident. Those times when you just blew away all problems or objections and totally achieved what you wanted. It might be that really awesome business presentation you did, or when you asked out that cute boy slash girl who said yes, or even convincing little Johnny to tidy up his room. It doesn't matter how big or how small those moments are, capture the details, at least 5. Write down when you do that how you felt and what you were doing at the same time. Did you stand in a certain way or have a particular breathing pattern going on? Then once you've done that, fold it up, put it in your wallet or purse to be brought out and reviewed whenever you're about to tackle something you're feeling anxious about. Add to it each new success. Pretty soon you'll have all the evidence you need there in black and white in front of you to persuade your brain that you can absolutely do what it is you want to do. Because your brain doesn't want to make you out to be a liar. And if you're reading the proof of the things that you've already done in your life over the years that you've been on this earth that have worked really incredibly well, and that when you did feel unstoppable, or when you did feel really productive and energized and happy, the more you can look at that, the more and more you can add to it as you go forward, the more you reinforce that sense within you that you can solve these problems, that you can get through it, that today the darkest hour can be lifted and you can move forward. It's really important that you actually start to provide your own evidence of how to be successful, or how to be, and by successful I don't necessarily mean how much money you make. I mean how you know, if you're making loads of money but you're not happy, you're not successful in my book. So you need to be looking at how and why you are feeling in a particularly positive way, and you need to capture that and then add it to your list so that going forward you've always got something to fall back on when you're not feeling so positive about something. It will help you get back into that positive state. Now, in the book, I also have a section called Coping with Indigestion. And this is where I put myself in your shoes and ask myself a question, and then I answer it. So the Coping with Indigestion section for this book is as follows. Question. Well, okay, I understand that having a strong sense of self-belief is a good thing and I'm a really positive person, but I still don't seem to be making any headway in life. What am I doing wrong? Okay, now this is where it gets tricky, because that's because a strong belief system on its own isn't enough. Standing in your garden saying, I don't believe in weeds, there just aren't any weeds, won't stop your garden from being overrun with weeds. That's an example given by Tony Robbins, but it's such a great example. Why would I even bother to try and think of my own? It's just so brilliant. You have to support your beliefs with strategies and actions, in other words. So conversely, though, you can use your beliefs to support those actions and strategies. So choosing the right strategies is vitally important, but we'll deal with that later in the book. In fact, I've already done a strategy wins through every time episode, so you can go and listen to that at some point when you wish to. Question. You say that our beliefs are constantly influenced by those around us. I consider myself to be intelligent and would surely be able to filter any undue influence. I used to think the same. You'd be surprised about how simple it is for your brain to program itself without you even realizing, and it can have a real major impact on your life. The example I always give is when I was at school, at middle school, I was told by my maths teacher that I was rubbish at maths and that I shouldn't even bother applying for any job that involved mathematics. And I believed him. He was my teacher. He was in authority. He surely knew that I was rubbish at maths. It turned out I wasn't rubbish at maths. It was just that he was a rubbish teacher. And the problem was, however, it affected my initial career choices and it for a good decade and a half before I realized that my maths are actually really good. And it's just the way he was teaching it to me didn't work, didn't float. So I'd gone down a particular path when I could have gone down another one. So it doesn't matter how intelligent you think you are, you can actually have these little routines programmed into your head that affect your decision-making processes without you even realizing it. All this is well and good, but what does it have to do with running a business? And I said, before you change your organization, you have to start with changing yourself. Furthermore, although this chapter looks at the micro, i.e. you, the principles and coping techniques can be easily transferred to the macro, i.e. the organization, but it's best to start small and learn from mistakes, or create new distinctions, before jumping right in. After all, you wouldn't do brain surgery after watching an episode of Casualty, would you? And it's that simple, folks. So it's a quick episode, this. I just wanted to really set the foundation for where we'll be going with some of the episodes of ThingWorks. Don't get me wrong, we're still going to be doing the geeky stuff. We're still going to be doing adventures in comics. We're still going to be doing nerdy stuff for the physics and the kind of alternate reality stuff. We're still going to be doing that. But over the next year of throughout 2026, I will make sure that I've filled in the gaps and done all 33 chapters of the book, whether it's the 20 core ideas and then the 13 principles that follow from those core ideas. But I will do them all in this kind of format and get you started. And as I say, every week for the next 33 weeks in 2026, I'll do these take a bite exercises in that forum, darreninform.com/thinkworksforum, and I'll answer them as well. So you can see, if you're wondering, but how do I get started on this? You'll see an answer for you to actually be able to think, that makes more sense now. I'm going to sit down in my journal. I'm going to actually answer this. And the idea is not just to reinforce the idea that's in the chapter by you doing the exercise and writing it down. Over the weeks that follow, or if you just read the book and do the exercise yourself, chapter by chapter as you get to them, you'll find yourself taking a step forward. and a little step forward, and half a step forward, and then three steps forward, and then suddenly making a leap forward. And that's the idea of the book. It works in a very logical, progressive, step-by-step process, if you wish. But it's got some great ideas and distinctions in there. So come and join me anyway in the forum and let me know what you think of this episode and what your core beliefs are and how you inspire yourself, how you get yourself out of a rut, and we'll add them to the mix in terms of the conversation that we're having. And I'll wish you all a very happy new year and a great celebration of seeing in 2026. Let's hope that 2026 returns sanity to the world, or at least a sense of normality. But in the meantime, let's just, the rest of us, you know, just filter out all the noise, the background noise and the silliness and the stupidity and the absolute lunacy, and try to make our corner of it, of the world, of life, a little bit more sane, a little bit more positive. And if we take all those little corners and start to put them together, we start to create a little bit of a trend, a little bit of a movement. And that movement is about making sure that we create a world that is far more positive, far more collegiate, and far more about working together rather than trying to divide what we are trying to do, what, you know, what people are trying to do. We've got to make everyone realize in many ways that we have more in common than we have that divides us. And it just seems to be a lesson we've lost. In the meantime, take care, everyone. I'll see you all very soon. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. As I say, the book is out now. You can go to it from Amazon and other stockists. I've put the ISBN number up in the forum anyway. But I'll do it again on the post for this particular episode. So even if you don't buy it from Amazon, you can order it from other stockists. And there's also a Kindle version as well. And at some point early in 2026, there'll also be a downloadable PDF for all the other kind of readers that are out there, e-readers that are out there that aren't Kindle based. Take care. See you all soon. And whatever else you do, don't stop asking questions. See you all soon. Bye for now.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to Think Works, the podcast for thinkers.